miles on the Erie Canal. The Erie Canal, completed in 1825, links the Buffalo River and Lake Erie. The river includes the terminus of the Erie Canal. It is where our industrial past began, allowing for transshipment, the start of a booming industrial age for Buffalo during the 1800s.
Buffalo wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Niagara Falls and the cataract. that created the demand for transshipment here. And ever since then, we've been tightly tied. We grew up from the water, and we need to respect and build on it.
Robert Shibley is dean and professor of UB School of Architecture and Planning. All kinds of material shipments once moved through the Buffalo River and Lake Erie. By the 1900s, Buffalo began its waterfront port boom, the spawning of Buffalo's industrial growth and economic development. But our waters paid the price.
Because there was once chemical, steel, and grain industry along the Buffalo River. And prior to the 1972 Clean Water, Clean Air Act, industry was dumping all their poison, their toxic chemicals, right into the river, without any kind of cleansing or any kind of filtration.
Western New York Congressman Brian Higgins has been a longtime champion of waterfront developments. The contamination Higgins spoke of spewed for years from industrial plants, the former Bethlehem Steel Mill, and the grain elevators. In August of 1966, it even caught the attention of President Lyndon Johnson as he conducted a nationwide trip that brought him to Buffalo's waterfronts.
Like so many of our problems, the pollution of Lake Erie is a result of our abundance. It has been caused by the great industrial might of Buffalo.
During that visit, residents waved signs to the president asking him to save Lake Erie and put the great back in Great Lakes. And in a news clip of that trip, Johnson was seen with a bucket containing thick, mucky black water. The Buffalo River actually caught on fire in 1968 because of that contamination.
The federal act changed all of that, but we were left with a mess. The mess to remediate the bottom sediment that was contaminated with all of that industrial waste.
By 1987, the Buffalo River was listed as one of the Great Lakes areas of concern. But now, almost three decades later, a multi-million-dollar cleanup project is removing toxic river contaminants.
But we're doing what we can that is providing the best benefit for the river and the least amount of damage, and also to protect human health and ecological health moving forward.
Jill Jedlicka is executive director of the Buffalo Niagara Riverkeeper. Riverkeeper was formed 25 years ago to protect the Buffalo River. It was actually Jedlicka's great-uncle Stanley Spezak who drew national attention to the region's water troubles. In a past interview with WIVB Television, Spezak talked about the then-dead Buffalo River.
Buffalo River was used as a turnaround point for ocean liners when they first started coming in the canal. When the canal system was open and the ocean liners were getting into the Great Lakes, they found that if they came into the Buffalo Harbor and stayed in the Buffalo River overnight, they could save thousands of dollars by getting the barnacles scraped off their hulls and the paint taken off their boats. By being in the acid conditions that existed in the turnaround basin. It was a regular procedure for ships to go out of their way to come into Buffalo Harbor for that very purpose, if you can imagine such a thing. They got a free scraping.
This is what he'd spent his life work for, is to restore this river.
Decades later, his great-niece is helping to lead the $75 million cleanup of the Buffalo River. We caught up with Jedlicka during a dredging this past winter, along a section of the city ship canal off Furman Boulevard.
Who's analyzing what they're pulling up?
Well, it's a partnership. We have EPA and the New York State DEC, Honeywell, Riverkeeper, and the Army Corps of Engineers. So there's a lot of technical minds behind this, and there's a lot of monitoring, a lot of observation. So all the agencies and partners are working together.
It is no longer acceptable for industrial companies along the lake to dump into the waterways. Honeywell International is a key private partner in the Buffalo River cleanup.
It's very important to Honeywell. We do view our responsibility as a sort of a comprehensive role.
Evan Van Hook is vice president of environment, health, and safety for Honeywell. In a WBFO News interview, he spoke about corporate responsibility.
What's important is that we address the issues now moving forward, because places like this really can become tremendous assets for their communities.
Significant river restoration began in 2011. Helping to oversee the dredging is Martin Doster, regional remediation engineer with the Department of Environmental Conservation.
We are digging into taking the worst of the worst out. There are many areas as well that we're not touching for a lot of different reasons, mainly because they don't pose a threat to the environment in the near term.
It's an expensive project, and securing the government and private funding has been key as they work to dig out lead, mercury, PCBs, and other river contaminants.
They're buried deep. They've been there for a long time. They reflect our industrial heritage. The whole time they're there, they're always constantly posing a problem.
But after the sediments are removed, water quality will be critical, with improvements to wastewater treatment and the city's upgrade to the sewer system. With the Great Lakes as the largest fresh water in the world in our region's own backyard, UB's Robert Shipley notes the waters are finally getting the attention they deserve.
Watching what's happened now at the Inner Harbor is a great step. Yeah, I'm even more excited about the kind of evolution of the Buffalo River, what we're seeing in the Niagara Greenway. The family of those things get us to a position where from lake to lake, we live in a water community.
Eileen Buckley, WBFO News.